Peak Wealth Management proudly presents the Trust the Plan podcast with Nick Hopwood and Jim Pilot, where we believe by providing education and guidance, we can help you retire with peak confidence. Now, here are your certified financial planners, Nick and Jim.
Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to the Trust the Plan podcast. I'm Nick.
And I'm Jim.
And today is the Feel Good Edition.
Their fans are in for a treat.
They're always waiting for it, you know. And I got my 10-year stuff on, right?
Yeah.
Going with the hat, the Russell 112, and the big 10-year T-shirt. Got to keep that going. And the Rose Bowl photo, because why not?
Yeah, you'll never get tired of looking at that
never,
picture.
Never. And then here is there's the logo. Okay.
I'm liking all the 10-year stuff because it's pretty cool that the Peak's been here for 10 years. But I got thinking, you've been around a lot longer than just 10 years, haven't you?
Yeah, we don't want anyone to think that we just started 10 years ago.
Right.
So, yeah, 99, 25 years ago.
I'll say, if I'm doing my math right, that's 25 years in the business, huh?
It's hard to believe.
It's pretty good.
Because I'm so young, right?
Very youthful.
25 years. Seems like I should be an old man, right?
I know.
But in 99, I was a sophomore at Michigan and got an internship. Mm-hmm. And that was the start of the career path. And that's where I met my wife as well.
Yeah.
There's a good story. Cool. You know, I was, you know, doing a lot of paperwork, mm-hmm. filling out paperwork and, you know, making copies and stuff like that, sending faxes. Mm-hmm. And so where I was sitting in my advisor's office, mm-hmm. I had a clear path of the copy machine.
Okay.
So guess who was up making a lot of copies and sending a lot of faxes as well.
Yeah.
Probably Jennifer. Huh? Yeah. So one day I had a clear sight. I saw her making some copies and I thought, who's that? Yeah. You know, I got to go meet her. And we had an Olive Garden lunch, you know, all you can eat, soup, salad, breadsticks.
Breadsticks. Yeah. Good.
And the rest is history.
Here we are. Wow. Yep. Very cool.
Well, what are we here to talk about today in reality?
I think we're talking about elections. I think one of the most asked things we get recently is, it's an election year. What should we do? We need to panic, right? Because it's an election year.
Yep.
So our friends at Vanguard gave us some good information to kind of help us sort through what really could be expected.
Yeah, so it's we're here in April, and we got, what, like 6 months or so until the election? The first quarter of this year was really good, mm-hmm. but April has been a disappointment. But anyway, this is looking at the full year calendar year returns in the election year itself. Mm-hmm. And this is showing a 60-40 portfolio. And a lot of retirees are 60-40, right? Medium risk, balanced risk.
People always like to think, you know, feel like they're in the middle.
Yeah.
Nothing too aggressive, not too conservative.
Exactly. So it's a very common place to be. So they're showing us here over, you know, the last 160 years or so. It doesn't really matter whether it's a Republican or a Democrat. They're both, right around 8% on mm-hmm. a 60-40. The one thing that I will highlight here is that for many of these years, interest rates were much higher, mm-hmm. right? We had the last 20 years where interest rates were very low, so that 40% of the bond allocation.
Yeah.
You know, that was the recency bias for the bond portion kept returns really low. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, stocks have been good. Yeah. And then in prior decades, you know, bonds had higher rates. So anyway, that does make a difference. But for the stock market that drives most of these returns, looks like it's pretty similar.
Yeah, I do think that's something interesting to come out of it, because I think most people look at that and they say, well, if so-and-so wins, it's going to crash. If the other guy wins, it's going to crash, right? And what I think this chart, you know, behind us is showing is that it doesn't, you know, this isn't the first time that we've had polarizing political candidates, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've had that in the past as well. And guess what? History, you know, pans out where the returns aren't that different depending on who gets in office.
Yeah, and we can kind of zoom in here and we see, right, the Great Depression, right, was bad for both parties, naturally. Mm-hmm. But most of the years, you know, it's positive and many times significantly positive, but a real nice average right around 8%, and that's not for just the S&P, but that's for balanced portfolios. Mm-hmm. So What will happen in 24? We don't really know, but I think this is very interesting to look back on history. I think if nothing else, we can take the takeaway is we shouldn't feel like just because it's an election year, some crazy negatives are going to happen.
Right. Don't let politics dictate your portfolio allocation.
Yeah, I strongly agree with that statement. And so now here's another one, again, from our friends at Vanguard. Instead of thinking about just the election year, we're thinking about the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. So forward-looking, what's our 10-year outlook, our 10-year projection? So very interesting, okay? U.S. stocks, 4.2 to 6.2%. That's really low.
Yeah. Yeah, and this if this came out in January, you know, and after the first quarter we've had, we had done most of that through the first quarter. Now, again, we already talked about April being a little bit of a pullback, but it was kind of an interesting number.
Right. So if the history is 8, 9% for U.S. equities, we're on the very low end. Mm-hmm. I mean, well below average, okay? And so I think the reason why they're expecting this mm-hmm. is because right now, if you take a snapshot of the market, the P/E ratios are above average. So in terms of the price of the market, it's expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And I think there's, you know, we could talk at length about, you know, these seven growth companies that are kind of throwing all the P/Es off and throwing the return averages off. But I think another interesting takeaway from the numbers we're showing, though, is look at the global equities without the U.S. in there. They're actually, you know, seeing and projecting better returns than we've gotten in the U.S. So that would be, you know, different than we've seen the last several years. The U.S. has been the leader for quite some time now. But I think it kind of goes back to the same theme of it's not just those same growth companies that are going to keep us up, right? We think there's going to be opportunities in international and, you know, mid caps and small caps and emerging markets and all other areas as well.
The one asterisk they should put here is they've been saying this for like 15 years now.
Right.
So every strategist you talk to is expecting international to do better, but it simply has not year after year after year. So how can we reconcile that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the takeaway is this is just why we diversify, because even if we think U.S. is going to be the leader, we still want to have money in other areas. Flip side of that is if we think this is the year for international, it doesn't mean we want to, you know, overload on international. We still want to participate in the U.S. market as well.
Yeah. So final point on international, the average is higher because it's not as expensive, mm-hmm. right? Over the last like 20 years, foreign markets have trailed the U.S. markets. And as a result, we have this reversion to the mean. A reversion to the mean would mean that Europe catches up. Right. And so in order to catch up, they have to have higher returns. Now on bonds, okay, the rolling 5-year number looking backwards on bonds mm-hmm. is 0.0.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been tough.
So when it says U.S. aggregate bonds, that means the Barclays Aggregate Bond Index, which is made up of some government and corporates and basically a diversified high-quality basket of bonds. Mm-hmm. And like I said, for the last 5 years, it's been zero. For the last 3 years, it's like -3 per year for 3 years. And the story is that we came into 2022 with very low rates, mm-hmm. right? And it was like that for like 20 years.
Right.
And then we had the Fed, right, responding to inflation, raising rates aggressively.
Yeah, aggressively.
And significantly. And so the bond market lost 13% in 22. Mm-hmm. And so if your income was like 2 or 3 and then you lose 13, how many years did you lose?
Yeah.
Right? So that's how now we're at a 5-year 0, okay? But the silver lining is, going forward, that means that we can expect more, okay? So the total carry on the aggregate bond index right now is like 5%. So if we just collect our income and bonds mature, mm-hmm. right, over the next few years, then you're going to make your 5% per year.
Right.
And that's all, it's that simple.
Yep.
Okay? Assuming no defaults and with the high quality, I would, you know, not really expect any.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So, you know, based on this, right, on the low end, they have U.S. at 4.2 for equities and 4.8 for bonds. What if bonds make more than stocks over the next 10 years? Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, that would be a surprise. But we've been talking about bonds a lot over the last year or so, knowing that there's opportunity, especially when the Fed starts cutting. We think the bonds should really perform well. But if the Fed continues to pause and not cut, we're collecting a higher coupon now. So
yeah. So in summary, right, it's an election year, but we don't think that, we should get too worked up over it one way or another. We shouldn't let politics dictate our decisions. Mm-hmm. And looking forward, some interesting thoughts from Vanguard with, the U.S., international, fixed income, and so on. Mm-hmm. And, if anything, I am finally excited about fixed income for the first time in a long time. So it's not going to be a 0% for 5 years like the last five.
Yeah. Yeah. We've tried to think of ways to generate income conservatively over the last, and it was challenging, right? But now I think we're in an environment where the participation from bonds will be really helpful.
Thanks for tuning in. And if you have a portfolio over 500,000 and you're looking for a second opinion, please check us out at peakwm.com.
Peak Wealth Management thanks you for watching and listening to the Trust the Plan podcast, featuring certified financial planners Nick Hopwood and Jim Pilot. If you enjoyed our program, please subscribe and share. If you'd like to learn more about our services, please visit peakwm.com. peakwm.com today. See you next week.